Take your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. The same story is in John chapter 6, but we're going to stay in the book of Mark. I'll refer to John a couple times tonight, but continue our study in the book of Mark. We're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to try to make it down through verse 45. This is a familiar story. It's where Jesus fed the 5,000 men. And over in the book of Matthew, I think it says there were 5,000 men and women and children. And so if it was like any other Baptist meeting, there probably was closer to 10 or 15,000 people there, because the women and the kids usually outnumber the men. So I don't know exactly. Don't ask me exactly how many people were there. I know there were over 5,000. It was a pretty big crowd. And so even though it's a familiar story, I want to look at it from a different perspective tonight and give you a different sort of truth out of it that's in there. What transpires, and I know we're only in the sixth chapter of Mark. I'll remind you there's only 16 chapters. At this particular time, we're about a year away from the crucifixion. So Jesus has been in his ministry for already 2 years, and Mark, again, writing from what Peter told him, has put all that, the things that the Holy Spirit wanted him to put in this book, he's put it all into 5-6 chapters that we've studied the first 2 years. And so he's a year away from the crucifixion, and in this last year, we'll find several occasions where he withdraws from Galilee. He withdraws from the people, and more he'll get his disciples, try to get his disciples alone away from the crowd. Now, and let me read a couple of verses to get us started there in verse 31. And he said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." And recall, now it's been a couple, 3 weeks since we talked about it, but the 12 disciples had just come back from going out and preaching, going out and healing, casting out devils. Remember, Jesus commissioned them and sent them out. And we talked about that about 3 weeks ago. And while they were gone, we sort of have that, the passage that we studied a couple weeks ago about the death of John the Baptist. So they just come back. In fact, in verse 30, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught from being sent out by him." So now they've come back. They're probably tired. And like that verse says, many people coming and going, a crowd always around them. And Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to take you. We're going to go someplace." And the desert place that they're talking about was on the northeast coast of the Sea of Galilee. It was a sparsely populated place, not many people there. And so they got in this boat and tried to slip away from the crowd. Now, probably several reasons. I mean, Herod was bringing, you know, he was trying to get his hands on Jesus. The Jewish leaders were becoming more and more fierce in their attack on him. There was a growing desire among the common people to make him king. They wanted to crown him king. They wanted him to be the Messiah that they knew that he was. They wanted him, you know, to take over and cast out the Romans. And so he wanted to get his disciples away from that. Then I think they were tired. And he just said, "Hey, we just need to get away for a while and rest." And the other reason, the fifth reason, I think, is because he wanted some private time with them so that he could begin to teach them what role they were going to take after he was crucified and after he left. He had to teach them what they were going to do and get them prepared for what they were going to do. And it's from that perspective that I want to look at this story tonight And I want you to think about what happened, and I'll guide you through it. But as a teachable moment, as a lesson to the disciples as to what they were going to do after Jesus left. So in verse 33, and the people saw them departing, Jesus and the disciples, again in a ship, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and out went them and came together unto him. And so, you know, last time when Jesus left in a boat, a lot of them got in a boat and tried to follow him. And a storm came up, and they got in the middle of a storm. So this time, they saw him and his disciples get in this boat. They probably knew where he was headed. Probably knew the place where he was going. And what verse 33 says is, they sort of ran around the lake to get to where he was going, and they beat him there. I mean, you know, and so he got away from Herod, he got away from the Jewish leaders, but he couldn't get away from the crowd. And verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out of the ship, saw much people. And so here he thought he was going to this sparsely populated area, and all these people sort of knew where he was going and got there before he did. So when he got out of the ship, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Now, you'll see as we go forward, nowhere in this chapter is any healing mentioned. And the thought is that as these people ran, I think literally ran around the lake, that the sick people couldn't come. They couldn't run that fast. Nobody wanted to carry them because they didn't want to be slowed down. And so no healing mentioned here, but teaching. And I want you to notice that phrase that's used there in verse 34, that Jesus had compassion on them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. Not having a shepherd. And I want you to think just for a moment what it would be like to be a sheep without a shepherd. And to help you guide your thoughts, I just want to direct you back to the 23rd Psalm. And remind you, using that psalm, what a shepherd does for sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the shepherd that provides for the needs of the sheep. Sheep are sort of dumb animals. Left to their own devices, they'll wander away. They won't. Well, and let's just go on. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes the sheep. He leads the sheep to the green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters. Sheep won't drink from a moving river. Has to have still water to drink. And so it's the shepherd that leads them to that place where they can eat. It's that shepherd that leads them to that place that they can drink. In the 23rd Psalm, there's a phrase that says, "He restoreth my soul." In other words, again, and I know it's, you know, we're talking about our shepherd. It's the shepherd that encourages the sheep. It's the shepherd that when a sheep gets lost, goes out and finds it and brings it back to the flock. It's the shepherd when a sheep gets wounded or gets hurt, binds up that wound and takes care of the sheep and tries to restore him back to health. It's the shepherd that leads them, not only to the grass and to the water, but to where they need to go. It's the shepherd that protects them. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, it says in the 23rd Psalm. And so when the Holy Spirit has Mark write and shares the thought of what Jesus saw or thought about when he saw the people, he said, They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what a picture that paints. Because when we realize what a shepherd does for the sheep, we realize the sheep probably ain't going to make it without the shepherd. They don't have a chance, much of a chance to make it without the shepherd. Now, I want you to keep that picture in your mind as we go forward, and when I'll draw it all together at the end. Verse 35, And when the day was now far spent, probably sometime after 3 o'clock, and again, they probably left early that morning and hadn't eaten since that morning, so there's probably a lot of hungry people. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Here's the disciples. They came to Jesus. "Man, it's getting late. These people are hungry. They've been here all day. They haven't had anything to eat. Nobody brought food with them because they left in a hurry and, again, didn't want to carry it." There are, even though it's sparsely populated, there are some villages, there are some cities. Just send them away so that they can eat. They're hungry. They can go out and find a place to eat, and they can buy their own food. Now, what they were saying is sort of let them fend for themselves. Just send them away from us so that we won't be responsible for them. We don't have anything to give them. We don't have enough money to buy them all food. So just get them out of here and get them to a place where they can get something to eat. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." I mean, here's a crowd, over 5,000 people. Again, just get the picture. Here's a crowd of over 5,000 people. And let's just say it's double. Let's just say it's 10,000 people with the ladies and the children. And the disciples have no food. In a minute, we're going to see they have very little money. And they said, "Jesus, we've got a hungry crowd. You need to get them somewhere so they can get something to eat." And he says to them, "Well, I want you to feed them." I can just imagine. "I want you to feed them." Here's what they said. And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread?" In our dollars today, it's about $35. Not much today, but it probably was a lot of money back then. I mean, just think of it. Harold, if we took 10,000 people to Old Country Buffet, $8 a piece. That's a lot of money. So here were the disciples, 10,000 people, and Jesus said, "Oh no, I want you to feed them." And they said, "Well, what do you want us to do? I mean, we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? That's not enough." And so Jesus said in verse 38, "Well, how many loaves have you? Go and see." He said, somebody in this crowd's got to have something. How, what do we got to work with? Just go and find out. And when they knew, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And, of course, from the book of John, we know that this was a little boy that had thought ahead and brought his lunch. It was a lunch of a poor boy, 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fishes. Either he had thought ahead or his mom had thought ahead, and he had this lunch. So here's what Jesus said, and he commanded them to make all set down by companies upon the green grass. And they set down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And again, he was getting them organized. I mean, again, say they were 10,000 people. I mean, if they were all in the same crowd, Lois, can you imagine what that would have been to try to, bring some order to that one big crowd and feed 10,000 people? A lot of food. So he said, no, let's divide them up. Make them sit down in groups of hundreds and groups of fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now, again, I just want you to think of the logistics of this situation. You got 10,000 people divided up into groups of hundreds and fifties. Here's Jesus with 5 little loaves and 2 fishes, and he begins to break this. Now, he just think about it. He broke every piece of bread. He broke every fish that every one of those 10,000 people ate. He gave it to the disciples. They took it out and served it in groups. Say, what do you think? He broke the individual portions, or did he just break off half a loaf and put it? I don't know. I don't care if he broke off half a loaf or if he broke off. That's still a lot of breaking to feed that many people. Again, just think about it. Sometimes we read these events in the Bible and we don't think about it. He had to break enough bread and break enough fish to feed every one of those people. Look at verse 42. And they did all eat and were filled. And that word filled means, just like Harold did Monday when we went to the Old Country Buffet, he gorged himself. I didn't watch him eat, but that's what Betty tells me he does every time he goes. But, I mean, they just didn't get an appetizer. They got all they wanted. They filled themselves up. It wasn't, well, we got a lot of people and a little bit of food. It was, no, eat all you want. Just take all you want. Don't stop until you get full. And they did that. And in verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. Back in that day, it was a custom to save some food for the people that served you. So there were 12 people serving, the 12 disciples. So they gave each one of them a basket. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And again, with the ladies and the children, as Matthew mentions, probably closer to 10,000. Now, here's the perspective I want you to look at it from tonight. When Jesus left, there were going to be a lot of people in the world that were going to be like sheep having no shepherd. They were going to be people that did not know him and needed to know him as Savior. They needed a shepherd to point them to the good shepherd. They needed somebody to care enough about them to point them toward Christ. There were going to be Christian people, and again, much of the New Testament is written to Christian people. They were going to need somebody to be a shepherd to them, to protect them, to bind up their wounds, so to speak, to encourage them. And when the disciples came, or when Jesus called the disciples, and the disciples said, hey, we got to send these people away, just put it into that perspective. Hey, you're going to be left when I leave. You can't tell these people, go fend for themselves. You can't tell these people, well, just go out and try to make it on your own. You're going to have to be a shepherd to them. You're going to have to help them. And the disciples said, like they did, this is Jesus' teaching. And the disciple says, we have nothing that we can use. I mean, we don't have bread. We don't have fish. We can't feed this many people. Just like they would perhaps say in the future, well, how can we help people? How can we point them to you? How can we encourage them as Christians? Hey, man, we're just fishermen and tax collectors, and we don't have any special skills or talent. We can't preach like you. We can't teach like you. They just come back from healing like Jesus and preaching and teaching, but they said, hey, when you're gone, how are we going to do that? And Jesus, what he was teaching them was, look, you can't just send them out to fend on their own. You're going to be responsible for them. And I like what he says. Go see what we got. You don't think you have anything. You don't think you have anything that can be used to help this group of people. Let's take an inventory. Find out what we got. They came back. Well, 5 little pieces of bread and 2 small fishes. But what is that? In fact, it says over in the book of John, what is that among so many? I think it was Andrew that said, it's just like, a one drop of water compared to what we need, a whole ocean full. What is that to help so many? And Jesus said, well, with you, it's not much, but if you bring it to me, it'll be sufficient. In fact, more than sufficient. So you bring it to me, and again, he began to break and gave it to them. He said, now, you take what I've given you, and you go give it to them. You go feed the crowd. He says, and again, here's what I think he was teaching them. When I leave, there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to need help. There's going to be a bunch of people that are going to be like sheep without a shepherd. I'm leaving you. and those that will come after you, which includes all of us. I'm leaving you. You need to help those sheep, those people that need a shepherd. And all we got to do, I mean, every single one of us can look around us and our families and our friends and the people that we know, and there are people that fit exactly into that description. They are as sheep that don't have a shepherd. They need to be brought to the Savior. They need to be brought to the one that is the good shepherd. They need to be encouraged. Their wounds need to be bound up. I mean, there are a whole bunch of people in our that we know that fit that exact description that Jesus gave, sheep having no shepherd. And he says to us, just like he said to the disciples, don't tell them to go figure it out on their own. Don't tell them to go fend for themselves. And we'd say, just like the disciples, well, what do I got? How can I help them? And Jesus said, that's right. You don't have anything. But what have you got? I'll take that little bit that you got. And I tell you, the thing that every single one of us have, if we'll give it to Christ, is our availability. If we will make ourselves available to God, he'll take what the little bit of the little bit of smarts that we have, the little bit of personality that we have, the little bit of experience that we have, and he says, I'll make it so that it can be used to reach people. I'll make it so that it can be used to help people. You won't be able to do it on your own. But if you come to me and let me bless it and let me multiply it, then you'll be able to go out and you'll be able to take care of people that you thought you had no ability to do it. I was thinking about, you know who probably was the most surprised person at Pentecost after he got done preaching? Peter. Man, I can't believe it. 3,000 people saved and baptized. I can't believe it. And yet, the same thing, God can use us in the same way if we'll make ourselves available. If we'll come to Christ and say, I don't have much, but what I got, I'm giving to you. And then let him bless it and let him multiply it. And then all we got to be is the delivery person. I can't make anything. I can't help people on my own. I have nothing that would let me do that. But when I come to Jesus and when I submit myself to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I'll deliver whatever you got to deliver. And he gives it to us just like he gave to the disciples the bread and the fish, and they took it. I mean, I can just see them running back and forth. I didn't do the math. Let me see if I can do it real quick. If they divided into groups of 100, so that would be 100 groups of 100, right? That would be 10,000 people. Somebody check my math. So 100. There was 12 of them. So each one of them had to make, if they could, and I don't know if they could make it in one trip to feed 100 or how many times they had to go back. But can you just imagine how many trips they had to make to the groups of 50 and to 100 to feed that many people? And they kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And I know Jesus was God, but he was also a man. You know, you talk about carpal, what is it called? Carpal tunnel? Can you imagine I know he was strong, but can you imagine breaking bread to feed 10,000 people? And breaking those fish and putting them in a basket to feed 10,000 people? I mean, and again, great miracle. Now, one more verse, and then we're done. Verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. That word constrained means disciples didn't want to go. He said, no, you guys are going to go, get in the boat and leave. Over in the book of John, it says that they wanted to come and take him by force to make him king. When they saw this miracle, the people said, he is the Messiah. Now, he didn't want to take that. He didn't want to take his rightful place, so that we're going to take him by force and make him the king. And Jesus wanted to get his disciples out of there because it wasn't a time for him to be the king yet. He said, "You guys leave. I'll disperse the crowd." And so he got them in a ship. Now they're going to run into another storm. We'll study that next week. But he got them out of there, and he said, and he dispersed this crowd, sent them away. He said, "It's not my time to be king yet. You don't understand the program. It's not the right time. That day will come. Day will come. We're still looking for it. When every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." But it wasn't this time. And so, again, we may not, we're left to be shepherds to people. We're left to minister to people. And again, every single one of us have people in our lives that are like sheep with no pastors that God wants us to help. Don't look to your own resources to do it. You go to the one that takes the little bit that we have, blesses it, multiplies it, and then sends us out and says, "Okay, now you're able to feed them. Now you're able to help them. Now you're able to be that shepherd that they need." Okay, anybody have a question or a comment?